Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I mean, if it wasn't so pathetic, it would be funny. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it is just funny. UNRWA being nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. How does that even happen? Well, Sean Sachs is a senior researcher at NGO Monitor. Sean, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Thanks very much. And Gemar Chatima Tova to you and the listeners. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I don't know, but like you see stories like this, and then you see stories about, I think it's Qatar being elected to the UN Human Rights Council, and you think, like, what is this world that we are living in? How did it get to be so weird?
Well, it's not only that it's weird. A lot of it is a combination of untruths, miscommunication, and often things that don't make a lot of sense. But let's try and put this all together in the last few minutes we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the first thing I think that is important to note about this whole thing is the Nobel Peace Prize, right, officially founded by Alfred Nobel in his will, and this is very important, is awarded to a person who has done the most and the best work for fraternity between nations, abolishing or reduction of standing armies, and holding and promotion of peace.
Okay.
That is a very specific list of criteria that Nobel himself put out.
Right.
Now, if you look at the apparent nomination of UNRWA, it has done very little to promote fraternity between nations.
Well,
it has definitely not done anything. It has definitely not done anything to abolish or reduce standing armies, and by its own mission, it has nothing to do with peace.
Ah.
So that is a pretty blatant problem. And as you can ask, well, how can UNRWA be nominated?
Yes.
You can go back and look at other controversial nominations and even controversial recipients, but this is very clearly, UNRWA doesn't even fall into that realm.
Right. So how was it? How was it nominated then? And who can nominate?
Two excellent questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the first answer is who can nominate? Especially the nomination criteria come from particular governments or academic institutions or peace groups. And they can also be nominated by Norwegian parliamentarians. And that is often the case where you can have extreme left and even the Communist Party in Norway over the years has nominated BDS groups, has nominated anti-Israel activists, has now nominated UNRWA. So that is an important group. If you go back and you see, BDS itself often claims that they were nominated for the Peace Prize. The BDS group internationally claims that they were nominated.
Yes.
Now, here's the other thing. How do you know that somebody is nominated? And the answer is, we don't.
Right. So,
according to the Nobel Prize Committee, the official people who give out the prizes, the list of nominees is not available for 50 years until after the prize has been given. So there is no official confirmation that UNRWA or anyone else is nominated for a prize. It is speculation based often on political lobbying.
Very interesting. So in other words, it's absolute, we have no idea. We have no idea because there's no confirmation. Anybody, I can start saying I was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, you'd probably have to speak to somebody who can get a Norwegian parliamentarian,
yes,
and maybe an organization to say, yes, we think you are worthy and we should consider it. And then by all accounts, you can say, yes, you're on the shortlist. You could be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Hmm.
Most importantly, in this case, you should go to you should make a media campaign about it.
Right, exactly, because that's where I can. So it's almost as though it becomes like as you say, lobbying. Because the more the pressure, the more the public focus on it, the more it stands a chance of actually becoming a reality.
Not necessarily. It's because the just claiming to be a nominee is enough already to create the fact that we're talking about this on High FM means that UNRWA and UNRWA lobbyists have achieved their goals. The prize itself is irrelevant. And this is the important, I'll give you an example. Do you know who won the Nobel Peace Prize last year? How many of your listeners, and I don't mean to, how many of your listeners knew that that Narges Mohammadi won the Nobel Peace Prize last year?
No, I was just going to say, I've got no idea. I have got absolutely no idea who won last year.
Exactly. Why? Because she's a single woman who's fighting for freedom for Iranian women. She didn't have a massive lobby campaign. She wasn't controversial. She was just a woman fighting for rights in Iran without massive lobbying. She was worthy of the prize, but she didn't get all this mass. She didn't get all this massive media publicity. The year before, do people know that Aleš Baltarsky won it? He's a Belarus dissident. Nobody knows because he didn't have all this massive media campaign around him and everything else. The Nobel Prize itself, unfortunately, has become politicized. So the entire nomination process is tainted and used as a tool to promote political agendas, or in this case, an anti-Israel agenda.
So, in other words, this is absolutely is highly likely to go absolutely nowhere. It's got as much chance as BDS winning, but really, all it is just about creating pressure and publicity.
That's exactly what it is.
So that is great to hear. Before I let you go, I just wanted your thoughts on the peacekeeping forces in southern Lebanon. I didn't really know about them too much, especially because it seems to be so crowded with Hezbollah terrorists, or it certainly was. All of a sudden, we're hearing about them. What have they been doing for the last year?
Yeah, nothing. It's as simple as that. So the UN force was created at the end of the 2006 Lebanon War. In fact, they were created many years before, but under United Nations Security Resolution 1701, there was supposed to be an enlarged, more powerful United Nations peacekeeping force in the border region between Israel and Lebanon, and their job was to make sure there was no other armed forces operating in that area, i.e. Hezbollah. They were supposed to make sure there was no stockpiling of weapons in that area, like Hezbollah has done. Okay. There was supposed to be no firing of weapons from that area like Hezbollah has done. There was supposed to be no training like Hezbollah has done. In fact, until last year, Hezbollah would put out videos of them conducting live fire training exercises within view of UN bases. Now suddenly Israel has said, we've had enough of Hezbollah firing on us, we're going to actually go and take matters into our own hands. And suddenly the UN peacekeeping force is saying, well, you can't do that, that's our job. Well, guys, where have you been for the last 20 years?
Yeah. And really, not even a public statement. We've heard nothing from them or the United Nations in terms of demanding that Hezbollah withdraw in the last year. And all of a sudden, now that Israel is there, it seems to be a little bit of a problem for them. So it really is interesting. That is where we leave it. Sean Sachs, thank you. As always, wishing you a Gemar Chatima Tova, a meaningful fast. It is 8:56.